Have you ever run in a marathon? 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, 20 kilometers. Participants in marathon are very impressive. But winners in marathon have been controversial and suspicious. Some runners were caught using steroids or prohibited enhancement drug illegally. Some runners were, well, in any sports or sports tournament, referees are given authority to decide the game. And referees would interpret the rules and regulations of the game according to their preferences. And oftentimes, the decisions of referees are questionable, and so not everyone would appreciate the winner. The loser would always have that reason why they lose. Well, unfavorable situation happens when there are unscrupulous or dishonest officials who are involved, but we cannot control that. We can control how we properly behave, how we react when situations are not favorable to us. If we prayerfully sought the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He will enable us to react accordingly. At the judgment day, the Lord will decide whether we receive our reward or we forfeit our reward for our behavior, for our reaction. Together, let's seriously reflect on what it declares in Psalm 96, verse 9 to 10. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. God, the Lord, will judge people with equity. How do you interpret equity? What is equity? Now, if you have a mortgage, you heard about equity. What is equity? What is home? What is your home equity? Home equity is the difference between the market value of your property, of your house, and the amount left to pay on your mortgage. For example, if the market value of your house is, say, $500,000, and you still have to pay $100,000, what is the equity of your mortgage? That's 400, right? 400,000. Now, the value of your house would go higher, and the more you pay your mortgage, the higher your equity would be. In short, equity is what we deserve. When God judges us with equity, He will reward us what we deserve for obeying Him. And of course, the penalty of disobedience had been decreed. So if we diligently obey the Lord, we will receive the rewards that we deserve. That is what it means when the Lord judges people with equity. Let's read again verse 24 of our passage. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Now, according to experts, running is a very essential form of exercise. It increases stamina, it increases endurance. And if you are involved in any sports, basketball, hockey, or even football, Any tournament that involves running, participants, players run diligently because they want to increase their stamina. Running is fundamental discipline in sports that requires running. In a sport that requires running, you need to run. You need to exercise. You need to practice running. Participants, they run to compete. They don't run just for the sake of running when they are in tournaments. They aim for the award as their practical motivation. Why am I doing this? Why am I running? Why am I exercising? I want that award. So they train religiously. And Apostle Paul challenges us. Consider how runners compete. They compete and aim for the prize. Whether it is marathon or sprint or 100 meter dash, participants train seriously. Now, scholars suggest that Christian life is like a marathon. Have you heard that? Why do they say that Christian life is like a marathon in contrast to sprint? Sprint is running 60 meters, 60 meter dash, 50 meter dash, 100 meter dash, 200 meter dash. Those are sprint. They need to run as fast as they can at the first step. But say, this suggests that Christian life is a marathon. Why? Marathon runners train for longer hours, maybe 2 hours the most or more, or they also cover longer distance. Now, in a sprint, they run 100 meters, then stop. 100, 200 meters, then stop. 50 meters, then stop. Or 60 meters, then stop. It's shorter distance. But does it mean that because the sprint had shorter distance to cover, they would just train few hours shorter than marathoners? Now, if you do that, how can you go? How can you be a sprinter if you just train once in a while? Do you think exercise or practice for a few hours shorter than marathoners? Well, competitors diligently train because they aim to be the first to finish the line, in the finish line, to reach the finish line and win the prize. So what does marathon, what does sprint teach us in relation to our spiritual life? If people hear the gospel and subsequently they participate in the ministry, but after a short period of time they quit, do we call them sprinters? Sprinters don't quit. They keep on sprinting, looking forward to the next competition. It's not because they won once, then that's it. I'm a winner all the time. No, they cannot do that. They keep on running because they want to be the next champion again. Keep on defending their championship. Now, if people heard the good news and subsequently get involved in the ministry and they continue in the ministry involvement until Christ returned, though we call them marathoners. Both the marathon and the sprint runner, they diligently train and aim to finish the race or win the prize. Think about that. Did Apostle Paul advise, run like a marathoner? Don't run like a sprinter. Be a marathoner. Did Apostle Paul say that? No. He implored that we do our best to run in such a way to win the prize. A marathoner or a sprinter, they aim to win the prize. Not just once. They keep on. Whether we run a marathon, we run like a marathon or run like a sprinter, the Lord rewards what we deserve. Now, let's see what the Lord Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven. He compared it to a land owner, a vineyard owner. So he hired worker. Early in the morning, he hired worker. He told the workers, go into my vineyard, I will pay you 1 denarius. What is a denarius? 1 denarius is Roman coin, Roman silver coin that was the salary of unskilled worker at the time. The minimum wage at the time. Kind of like what is the minimum wage in Manitoba, in Winnipeg? You don't know? You are not working minimum wage? Maybe 15? 15 for 1 hour, all right? Multiply that by 12, because 1 day work at the time is not 8 hours, not 6 hours, it's 12 hours from 6 to 6. So multiply that by 12. For example, if the minimum wage is $10 per hour, which is easier to compute. Minimum wage is $15.30 as of October. But let me compute that, you know, 10, because it's easier for me to compute, all right? If $10 is per hour, and multiply with 12 hours, that is $120 per day. And so how much is that? If 15.30, it's up to you to compute that. But that is the idea of denarius. So the landowner said to the people, go to my vineyard and work. I will pay you denarius. And they agreed, and they went. And the landowner went to the marketplace and see again people standing there. What are you doing here? Why are you waiting? We're waiting for somebody to hire us. Go to my vineyard. I'll pay you whatever is right. It happened at 9 in the morning. Then at 12, he saw again. What are you still doing here? You're still standing here. Go to my vineyard. I'll pay you whatever is right. And they agreed. They went. At 3, he saw again another group of workers. Go to my vineyard. I'll pay you whatever is right. They went. And then at the last hour, or at 5, it is 1 hour before 6. At 5, he saw still men were standing there waiting for somebody to hire them. What are you doing here? Nobody's hiring us. We are waiting for somebody to hire us. Go to my vineyard. I'll pay you whatever is right. And they went. They agreed. Let's reflect on how the men were paid accordingly, according to the Lord, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 8 to 16. When evening came, that is 6 in the evening, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, all the workers, and pay them their wages, beginning the last one hired, going on to the first. The workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and this they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be the first. And the first will be the last. You know, this is reality. Reality in Canada. Did you know that? There was a time when the government decided to give money to senior citizens who stay in Canada 14 years, even if they did not work. Did you know that? Did you hear about that? And they received more than 1,000, I think 1,200 a month And they receive much higher than those who would paid CPP, Canadian Pension Plan. And those who work for many years are receiving only because they started receiving their CPP at the age of 60. They only receive maybe 700, 800. Whereas those senior citizens, 60 years old or more, who stayed in Canada for 10 years, are receiving 1,200 or more. And those who work and paid for CPP complain, why do you give them much more than us? Think about that. The government was just generous to those older people, to the senior citizen. They have nothing to do with those who paid CPP. But those who paid CPP think it was their money that was given to the senior citizen. But think about that. Why do they complain when they work and have money even before those senior citizens came? They work hard and receive their salary. And they agreed to sign that CPP, that whatever is they received, it would be their portion. Why are they envious? Because it is biblical. Human is envious. It is biblical. The Lord said, they complain. So what if I give one denarius to the person who only worked for 1 hour? So what if I give $120 for the person who worked only 1 hour? You work the same. But at the first day of the, at the first hour of the day, you agreed to receive minimum wage. Those who worked in the vineyard for 12 hours, they were fairly compensated. They agreed to work for one denarius. Before they went to work, they agreed. Give me the minimum wage, I work for 12 hours, go ahead. And the landowner paid one denarius, they agreed as wage before they went to work. In comparison, before the landowner found the men who were hired later, especially those he hired at 5 in the afternoon, they were very anxious from morning for 11 hours. They were so anxious. Who would hire us? Who would hire us? And they were thinking, what if those men have families to feed? They have children to feed. And they are waiting for him to bring home food. And they haven't. Because at the 11th hour, there was no one who would hire them until the landowner hired them. Can you imagine that anxiety they have? If nobody hired them, they've got nothing. No work, no pay. The landowner represents our gracious God. He compensates what we deserve. If we deserve it, he gives it. But he also showers us his grace, even when we don't deserve. He gives us eternal life by faith. We don't deserve eternal life. The law says, sin, the wages of sin is death. We should be eternally tortured. We should be eternally punished. But because by faith we believe in Christ, that Christ died on the cross, that the Lord took our sin and nailed them on the cross, and the blood of Jesus shed on the cross washed away our sin, so that in God he see us as clean, perfect, righteous. Because the blood of Christ washed away our sins. And by faith, we believe that. That's God's grace. We don't deserve to live in heaven for all eternity, but by his grace, he saved us. Now, if you have doubts, Has the Lord increased my faith? I want to believe that one day when you return, you take me into heaven. Together, let's reflect what it admonishes in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, some interpreters, they translated run with perseverance. They interpreted as marathon. Was it because marathon requires endurance? Well, there are some believers who behave spiritually on Christmas Day and on Holy Week or during their birthdays. Now, many believers consistently persevere spiritually at any given time all year long. Not just on Christmas days, not just on Holy Week. We should aim to win the race of life with perseverance in our practice of Christian discipline. Let's read again verse 25 of our passage. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Well, there are basic regimens and fundamental routines that are essential to better performance in sports. It should not be just one-time practice. Keep on practicing until you get better and get better. As long as you want to compete, we have to regularly exercise those skills, necessary skills. Now, how was your bowling tournament yesterday? Do you feel the pain in your shoulders now? In your fingers? On your hips? Or your joints? Well, how do you exercise if you're not, how can you win if you're not going, if you're not exercising bowling? But there are still basic, even if you are not going the bowling lanes, you can exercise lifting weights as if you are throwing bowling. Bowling ball, bowling pins, exercise that arms, even how you slide, so that you would not hurt your knees or ankles. If you want to compete in a particular game, for example, basketball, you need to play basketball. You practice the fundamentals of basketball regularly. Since basketball is a team game, you also have to practice how you play basketball with teammates. But individually, you have to strengthen your muscles. You have to strengthen your endurance. You have to increase endurance. You have also to practice healthy lifestyle. The basketball team that wins the championship brings home the trophy. Did you watch basketball last night? How's your team? Did your team win? Your favorite team? Well, what do you expect? Who would win the award? Your favorite player? There are also individual awards given to the best player of the game. And awards in sport, they won't last forever. There will be another championship next year. There will be another championship game next year. And another team might be champion. Another player might be selected as valuable player. Your favorite player may not be the most valuable player next year. Or are you fascinated? Are you intrigued how players practice discipline just to win the crown that won't last forever? They diligently practice. If you read stories of those most valuable players, how they practice, you would be amazed how dedicated they are. Likewise, we've got to aim for eternal rewards that the Lord had already prepared for us, we've got to be disciplined spiritually. Now, in basketball, players would do their best to showcase their basketball talents. And the one who is presumed to be the most valuable player would be elected. And one player may dominate a game, one game. He would be very good in one game. A few days ago, one person dominated a game. But last night, he just not very good. But there are other players who may dominate many games all year round. And most often, teams that have diligent players who prepared individually reach the final games. Injuries sometimes would cause the team to fail to reach the finals. Many strong teams, strong players lost game due to injury. Injury can happen unexpectedly to any player. They don't know when, but they just have to keep on praying. When I was younger, my mother would not allow me to play basketball. Don't play that game, you would be injured. And truly, many of my classmates are limping now because they are very good in basketball, but they hurt their ankle, they have sprain. Well, I didn't play much basketball when I was young, but I also run. So I sprained also my ankle, not in basketball, but in running, in jogging, or in walking. I hurt my ankle. You may be very careful, but you don't know. There are unexpected times. So personal training is very essential to lessen injuries, if not to prevent it. And food and rest are also vital to endurance and health. Well, Apostle Paul testified in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenward. Press on, don't stop, keep on. Basketball teams compete for the championship. Players may aim for individual rewards. As Christians, we aim for the award Christ prepared for us. To aim for the award that Christ prepared for us is also a practice of faith. Do you believe that the Lord would award you one day? Pray for increase of faith, to look forward to that award. Players are injured and try their best to recover and compete again. Maybe your favorite player was injured in the past, but after a year, he recovered, he went on again. When they are healthy, likewise, it is possible that problems may affect us. Personal problem, family problem, problem in school, problem at work, it may affect us even spiritually. We've got to do our best to recover. Ask the Lord, I don't like this situation. I don't like this problem. Terrifying me or paralyzing me spiritually. Ask the Lord, take this concern away. Take this struggle away. Don't try to solve it yourself. Ask the Lord to increase your faith and aim for the prize that God will award us one day. Can you honestly accept that the Lord uses struggles, concerns, to discipline us spiritually? why God allowed those problems? Is it because God wants to discipline us? The Lord wants us to see how we would recover if we depend upon Him, if we rely upon Him. Every one of us, we have problems. Nobody here can say, well, my life is perfect, I have no problem. That's not true. You will only have no problem when you reach heaven. But on earth, every problem that's common to mankind, we may encounter. Together, let us reflect on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. The Lord disciplines the one He loves. He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of Spirit and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplined us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. This is biblical truth. If you are not disciplined, then, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, the Bible says. Not true sons, not true daughters. Do you know that? So if you spoil your children, you don't love them. You know, everyone, do you have grandfathers? Do you have grandmothers? Your grandmother and grandfather, you feel like they treated you more than your parents, right? Why? Because they do not discipline you. Why? Because you are not their son. You are not their child. You are their grandchild, grandchildren. But that they are not your fathers. They are not your mothers. Don't think that you love more your father and grandfather and grandmother because they give everything you want. Your parents love you, they discipline you because they believe that discipline is the best way for you to learn. Learn what is right. You may hate your fathers and mothers this time, but you would miss it. One day when you become parents yourselves, you will find out that, oh, this was what my father, my mother did to me before, and I'm doing it to my children. Because you care for your children. It is biblical. Certainly, it is practical proof in God to trust that God disciplines us for our own good. When God allows us to struggle in difficulties, concerns, problems, think that God is disciplining you to hold on to your faith in Him more firmly. The Lord disciplines us to behave as worthy children of God. If God allows His favorite son, only son, Jesus Christ, to be tortured, to be punished on the cross, to be crucified. He allowed, not that he disciplined him, but because he reserved the greatest reward for Christ, for his obedience. All glory and praise belongs to Christ because he sacrificed for our salvation. Not because he was disobedient. He was obedient even before he became human. But in his obedience to the cross, a reward was reserved for him in eternity. And now he experienced in eternity all praise and glory. Well, basketball players train diligently, hope to win the war. Likewise, as spiritual discipline, the Lord approves, we persevere in godly righteousness. Don't try to be righteous on your own effort. Ask the Lord, "Lord, I want to behave in righteousness, increase my faith." As example to imitate, Apostle Paul illustrated his perseverance. Apostle Paul said he persevered, just like a runner who aims the prize because his goal is to get the prize. He practiced spiritual discipline like a boxer, not just shadow boxing, but he punishes his body. He followed the stipulated regulation. So the boxer would follow the stipulated regulation, so he won't be disqualified for the prize. The same is true with Apostle Paul. He wanted to keep on, because he did not want to quit. He was looking for the award, or else he would be disqualified. This is what he testified in verse 26 and 27. Let's read. "Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Either you compete or to just maintain your health, your endurance. Runners have particular objectives. Why they train? Why they run regularly? When you grow older, you understand more. When you have maintenance," you say, maintenance in high blood, maintenance in diabetes, what else? Maintenance in whatever maintenance you have. You know, you understand that you need to exercise. If not, then there will be problem waiting. Endurance requires consistent practice. You cannot endure if you just do it only one time. Runners persevere all year long. They run all year long, either outdoor or indoors. Likewise, we persevere. We continue to practice our faith despite the struggle in life. Many people would not attend church when they have problem at home, but it should be all the more you attend. Don't try to hide. Don't think that people who come to church have no problem. Everyone here have problem, but they just want to seek help from the Lord. That's why they attend. Don't wait when you are very well to attend church. Instead, when you have problems, the more you attend and listen to the Lord. That is how Apostle Paul told us. He enslaved himself. He made his body his slave. He voluntarily preached the gospel. He didn't ask for compensation from any church. He wanted to be sure he will not be disqualified for the prize. It is also practical proof of faith in the Lord to aim for the prize of obedience to the Lord. If we look forward, I'll do it. I'll be faithful to the Lord because I know that the Lord is faithful. That you practice faith. We trust that God rewards obedience. He compensates what we deserve. But have you pondered upon what was in the mind of Apostle Paul when he said, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize? What was he thinking? Why did he mention about being disqualified for the prize? Is it possible that when we obey the Lord, we do not receive any reward? Is it possible we obey the Lord and yet we forfeit our reward? We are disqualified. Is it possible? Christ had warned in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received reward in full. And this is very true among politicians, especially in the time of social media. Hey, let's take selfie. Before they would give that help, they shake hand, and while receiving, as if they are receiving diploma, something like that, for picture taking, for record purposes. In Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 5, it says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. Now, I've heard that many people would not like to be members of Board of Trustees because Board of Trustees would come here and stand and pray, and that is public speaking, because they think they do not want others to see them standing praying. That is different. When you are a member of the Board of Trustees and you come here and lead lead the congregation in prayer, you need to pray aloud because they need to hear your prayer and agree with you and say amen to your prayer. And that is not considered as this. Instead, these Pharisees, teachers of the law, they would go and stand in synagogue, look so religious, and pray aloud for people passing by, not congregation, people who are passing by would see them praying aloud. Christ also warned in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their rewards. Kind like they don't comb their hair, or even they don't even wash their face, or they don't even change clothes. Why do you look like that? I'm fasting, maybe they say. I don't know. Praying, fasting, and giving, these are spiritual disciplines that we should practice. But before you go fasting, ask your doctor. You might have an illness that requires you to eat every now and then. And if you would fast, your illness would not do well. When the Holy Spirit inspires us, we pray, we fast, and be generous to others. Reward from the Lord are given to anyone who deserves them. Think about that. The Lord would not reward for the sake of rewarding. Give His grace according to His love, but rewards, they are to be earned. They are not just for temporary accolade. God prepared reward for eternal rejoicing. It's not only for 1 year. that you say, ah, yeah, I'm champion this year. Next year, you are not champion anymore. No. Reward from the Lord, you would, if you see that reward, I believe you would praise God for all eternity. You would praise God. That's why in heaven, there will always be praising, holy, holy, holy to the Lord, our God Almighty. Because you are filled with gratitude and praise in your hearts because of the faithfulness of God when He rewards you and the grace showered upon you. Now, do you think Christian life is difficult? Who thinks Christian life is difficult? It is difficult. Many people thought about it. It is actually impossible to be Christian, genuine Christian, on our own effort. We should rely upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces what? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience. I did not hear any difficulty as fruit of the Spirit. So when Christian life is difficult, that is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is human effort. So when we sense difficulty in Christian life, that should signal us to realize that we relied upon our human effort. Ah, life as Christian is difficult. Now you are reminded, remember this, Christian life is joyful, peaceful. That's Christian life from the Holy Spirit. But difficult Christian life is from human effort. Remember that always. Remember that. So if you are saying Christian life is difficult, you are saying, I'm depending on myself. Remember that. But if you sense Christian life is really good, joyful, peaceful, then you know you are depending upon the Holy Spirit. Reflect on what it admonishes in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Can you go back to verse 1? Consider it what? Pure? It did not say pure difficulties. Say pure joy. Now, if you don't sense that joy, you are depending upon yourself. If we depend upon the Lord, we have that pure joy so that our faith in Him produces what? Perseverance. We persevere. Perseverance is not one time. Perseverance is faithfulness, continuous diligence. Spiritual maturity is reflected in perseverance. If you persevere, you have matured. At very young age, it is very hard to be patient. It's hard to persevere. I don't know if you have experienced this. Experience walking with your children, 2 to 3, 4, 5 years old children. Walk for a mile or longer. And then after that, the child would say, carry me. You don't want to walk anymore. For us who grew up in the countryside, walking up and down the hill, long distances, to go to the field, we persevere. And if you cannot persevere, you are not allowed to go. And many children would say, carry me, I'm tired, I'm tired. Remember the time when you were when we were in Asia. We walked more than 2 kilometers going up the hill, And Laika was 8 years old at that time. And there was a time when she doesn't want to walk anymore. Yeah, I understand. That's good that those students, they encourage, let's go, let's go. And they were almost dragging her, going up. But when we reached the top, it was so beautiful. The other day, I saw a post of Sister Ayan. Sister Ayan going to, where was that, Ayan? Peru. She walked up the mountain and she described how she, how they struggle, but she described also how beautiful it would be at the top. Life as Christian, we persevere. We may not find it now, as, but when we reach our goal, it would be very beautiful. Well, in many sports, there are champions. There are participants who thought they did their best to win the game, but later they were stripped of their awards. They were disqualified. Have you heard of the name Ben Johnson, Canadian sprinter? Ben Johnson. In his time, Ben Johnson was considered the fastest man alive in his prime time until he was tested using prohibited enhancement drug and he was disqualified. Now, there are numerous stories about the sports competition where runners and participants were disqualified for violation of rules and regulations in sports. And Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, anyone who competes as an athlete do not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be first to receive the share of crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. We don't know when Christ returns. It could be any time sooner than we may assume. When he comes, he takes us into heaven and awards us what we deserve. But Christ and Apostle Paul, they preach about price or reward for obedience to the Lord. They remind us, there are preachers who would downplay, there are preachers who would suggest, the reward should not be our motivation for obedience to the Lord. They downplay that. Don't look for the reward. Just keep on serving the Lord. Think about it. Why did Apostle Paul, why did the Lord preach about reward and award if they are not very important? Many times in the Bible, we would say that the Lord rewards according to what we deserve, what we have done. Why would the Lord and Apostle Paul preach about award? Because to aim for prize, this is also a practice of faith in the Lord. If you look forward to that prize, meaning you trust that the Lord is faithful to give you that award, that prize of obedience. But we need to seek inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives insight to reflect upon whether to downplay the rewards or aim for the prize of obedience. What do you think? Would you receive rewards prepared by the Lord for your obedience to the Lord? Think about that. Let's stand up and pray and ask the Lord to increase our faith, to trust Him and obey Him so that we won't be disqualified for the prize. Let's pray.